The following talk was given by Father John Harden's May 5th through 9th, 1999 Retreat for Men, sponsored by the Institute on Religious Life in Chicago.
First of all, I want to tell you how edified I am at your silence and spirit of recollection. Keep it up. This evening, as you know, we'll have our question and answer period. You will not cut down the amount of time. I would ask you, I mean the verb ask you, to stuff the question box. Okay. Our subject this evening will be on the second article of the Holy See's document on how to pray. The most important thing we can do in life, barring nothing, is to pray. And the question is, how are we to pray? First of all, we depend on the Church to tell us how to pray. And this is the statement. And that's the question, what is our pathway in the practice of prayer? What is practice of prayer? It is the authority of the Church. Oh, how we need that. Some 6 billion people in the world. Most human beings pray. But the verb to pray has almost as many meanings, in fact, as many meanings as there are religions. How are we to pray? We are to pray as the Church, followed by Jesus Christ, authorizes us to pray. This teaching is based on apostolic tradition. The Catholic Church is founded on the apostles and their successors. And always, this and of always is crucial. Always directing our prayer in relation to Jesus Christ. It is Christ's humanity. Hear it. That's why God became man, to teach us how to pray. Christ is the teacher of prayer. Of course, there are three persons in God. But it is Christ's humanity who is the road by which the Holy Spirit teaches us to pray. To whom? To God the Father. It is our prayer to God the Father. Oh, and the Holy Spirit teaches us, and that teaching is done for the human race by God as a man. God became man to teach us how to pray. The Catholic Church asks this question: how is Jesus the primary focus of our prayer? He is the primary focus of our prayer because he is our God, who became man precisely to become the object of our worship and the inspiration of our love. God became man to teach us how we are to live in this world by prayer, to reach that God from whom we came. Says the Catechism, the name Jesus contains everything we need for prayer. He is our God to whom we pray. He is man to teach us how to pray. And he is the God-man living in this world of ours to teach us how we are to live. We go on. How is the Holy Spirit related to Christian prayer? The Holy Spirit, remember, promised by Christ, is the interior teacher of prayer and out of Christian prayer. I repeat, the whole world prays. Hear it. Even the atheist prays. Our teacher at the State University, both before and after, especially my 5-year tenure, I made sure I would have, they call them, dialogue with atheists. Pray to themselves. The Holy Spirit is, I repeat, the interior teacher of Christian prayer. The Holy Spirit is always present by His grace in our souls, assuming and beyond the grace of God, which, I can tell you, we retreatants should be sure. I am adding my words, confident in the grace of God. It means, therefore, we never, hear the ad, we never think alone. The Holy Spirit thinking within us, the Holy Spirit inspiring us, thinking by enlightening our minds, inspiring us by directing our wills, so that even as Jesus, as man, always prayed, we, And the adverb is not an exaggeration. We should always be praying. Then, an important question. It begins a series of questions in the church's teaching. How should our prayer be in communion with the Mother of God? Remember, except for Mary, there would be no Jesus Christ. Mary, a creature, is the Mother of God. It is from her that God received his humanity, and she is to be always an essential part of our life of prayer. So we ask, what has been the pattern of the church's Marian prayer over the centuries? In other words, what are we to learn from Our Lady about prayer? Especially two essential features. First, even as Mary's prayer was, ours should always be centered on Jesus Christ. It should be magnified, praised, for what he has done for Mary and through her for the whole of humanity. And secondly, entrusting God's praises and supplication of his children to the Mother of Jesus. We can pray, we are to pray, for the one creature who prayed as a model of all our prayers was the Mother of God. Now, an important practical question. How are these two features fulfilled in the Ave Maria, the Hail Mary? We just go through the Hail Mary and briefly point out what each part of the Hail Mary teaches us. Hail Mary reflects the high regard, the highest regard that God had for his lowly servant, my name, Mary. We address her as Hail Mary. Why? Because we know, our faith tells us, except for her, God would not have become man. God became man to be born, for he was born conceived in the womb of a woman. Then we continue, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. I could talk, I'm not exaggerating, for hours on two words. Full of grace. Mary was filled with the grace of God. I need to believe that. a merely, shall we call it, human creature, Mary, was filled with the grace of God. Unlike a divine son, Mary was not divine. But she was filled with God's grace. And she is filled with the grace of God. Why? Because the Lord is with her. Whatever I say during these days of the retreat, remember, the essence of possessing God's grace is to have the Lord with us. That's all that has meaning in this life. Have God with us. Then we're safe. Why is Mary full of grace? Because the Lord is always with her. Let me be a little more practical. How desperately we need to cultivate, shall I call it, the art, and I mean this, of constant prayer. Of course, we're in conversation with others. Especially, shall I say it, in conversation with ourselves. But underneath all our conversation with anyone should be our conversation with God. How this needs to be emphasized. That whom we're talking to, including ourselves, the principal subject, shall I change the noun, object of our prayer should be God. Why is Mary full of grace? Because the Lord is always with her. But hear it. The Lord is with her because she, with her free will, was always with him. I'm not exaggerating, give an 8-day retreat, 5 meditations each day on the subject of being always in the presence of God. Oh, how blind we human beings can be. How preoccupied with the things of this world. How preoccupied with ourselves. All the while, the most important being with whom we should always, I mean that adverb, always be in contact is with God. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hear it. Mary was the mother of God. Except for her, there would be no Son of God who was conceived and born of a virgin. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And because of her faith, Why did one woman become the mother of God? The Catholic Church teaches Mary became the mother of God because of her deep faith. She lived, hear it, in the presence of God. Oh, my friends, I am seeing much more than my words may seem to imply. Of all kinds of persons, all kinds of people on our minds and in our hearts. But the one person who should most constantly be on our minds and most deeply in our hearts should be Jesus. And I use that noun deliberately. Mary believed. Hear it. She believed that the child she conceived and carried for 9 months in the womb was her God. When she gave birth to Christ, she believed. She believed the child whom she conceived and gave birth to was her God. And because of her faith, what a statement, because of her faith, that Mary became the mother of all believers. Believers in Him who is a source of blessing to all nations. Mary believed. If we could go on, as I have over the years, for 8 days, I give it an 8-day retreat on the Hail Mary. We go on. Holy Mary, Mother of God. This, remember, was addressed to Our Lady by Elizabeth. Elizabeth believed that Mary was the mother of her Creator. I see more to you than you realize. And as we know, there are especially two kinds of prayer. There's what we call mental prayer. There's what we call vocal prayer. I know we can't pray vocally without praying mentally. When we address Mary as Mother of God, what are we doing? We are addressing her as the source of all the blessing to all the nations. Christ, of course, is the living God who became man. He was a woman. And a totally human person, Mary, was the mother of all believers. Because Mary believed that Jesus was a source of all the grace to all nations. Holy Mary, Mother of God. This we know is addressed to Our Lady by Elizabeth. With Elizabeth, and drawing on the same faith Elizabeth had, we address Our Lady as the Mother of God. Then we are in Our Mother. And trusting to Mary everything in our lives. I have thought over the years and again before this retreat, how much time shall I devote to Our Lady during the retreat? Mary, being the Mother of God, is the source of all the blessings that we have received, all the blessings we hope to receive until we enter eternity. And it is we fondly and sincerely hope that we enter heaven will be because of the Mother of God. She's our Mother. How we need, what shall I say? How we need a deep, shall I change the word, a deeper devotion to Our Lady in our lives, every one of us, beginning with myself. Whatever you do during this retreat, examine your consciences on your devotion to Mary. Because it is through Mary that we receive all the graces we have obtained so far until our dying moment we receive from God. In it, all the grace we get from God, our faith tells us, comes through Mary. Mother of all believers, then, when we finish the Hail Mary, we go on. Holy Mary, Mother of God. Who was the one who addressed Mary as the Mother of God? Elizabeth. He addressed Our Lady as the Mother of God and Our Mother, entrusting that by the ways of her, we entrust Our Lady everything that we expect in this world to reach the heaven for which we are made. Oh, let me be more emphatic. We are not made for this world. Believe it. God sends us trials. God sends us pain. God sends us all kinds of tests of our faith in this world. We are not made for this earth. Thank God. We will all die. What happens when we die? Our soul leaves our bodies. I could spend hours emphasizing the importance of that article of faith. When we die, our souls leave our bodies. I'm speaking not only to Christians, I'm speaking to believing Catholics. We believe we have two lives. Here we have two lives. One life, which we call our human life. But as Christians, we believe our human life has a double level.